This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Marco Rubio, former Speaker of the Florida State House of Representatives. He is now currently a Republican candidate for U.S. Senate and is currently in a statistical dead heat with a Florida GOP Governor Charlie Crist for that nomination. The primary is in August. And we want to get Mr. Rubio's thoughts on that campaign as well as what he sees as the lessons of the Senate race in Massachusetts and what else we should know going into the midterm season. So first of all, Mr. Rubio, a lot of people are surprised at how quickly you've been able to catch Governor Crist, who's been relatively popular there as governor. What do you see as the key now? Your name recognition is out there. Is it just about the issues that come up? How do you pull away from the governor, if possible, during this
run? You know, I just run as who I am and what I believe in, you know, and try to, you know, explain to people what I will do if I get elected to the U.S. Senate. I have what I think is a compelling reason to want to serve. I can tell you now I'm running for the right reasons. I'm not running to be somebody. If I was running to be somebody, I would have found an easier race. I mean, running against the incumbent governor of your own party is not necessarily the easiest race to get into, but it's one that I got into because I think I'm the only candidate in this race that will go to Washington, D.C., stand up to Barack Obama and Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi, and will offer a clear alternative. And that's why I'm running. That's why I'm in this race. And I think if I continue to talk about that, continue to explain to people not just why what's happening in Washington is wrong, but what we should do instead, our support will just continue to grow.
In addition to the issue of fiscal responsibility and the health care debate, one of the big issues that came up certainly in the Massachusetts campaign over the last couple of weeks was national security, particularly in the wake of the attempted terrorist attack on Christmas Day. What do you see as the biggest differences between yourself and Governor Crist on national security and the war on terror?
Well, you know, I'm not sure what his position is on those issues because he yet hasn't talked about that. I mean, his campaign really hasn't focused on the issues. It's focused on, you know, trying to plant embarrassing stories about me in the media or do some of the other negative things that you hear in politics, and I think we're going to see more and more of that. So I can't speak to his record or his issue or what he believes on those issues. I can only tell you that I do believe we have a war on terror. This is a war. It is a different kind of war from any other war we've ever been in. It's very 21st century. Our enemy doesn't have a capital city. It doesn't have a president. It doesn't have a, you know, formal structure of government. And yet it is as dangerous an enemy as this country has ever faced. In many respects, because of that, those nuances that I've just outlined. And that's why I believe that these terrorists are enemy combatants. They're not just simply criminals that should be tried in civilian courtrooms. That's why I'm glad that this administration is finally using the rhetoric of war in describing this conflict, because I hope that that means that psychologically they're taking this as a serious threat to our country, not just an annoyance.
When you talk to voters around the state of Florida, what do they want more than anything in their senator?
Well, they want someone that they can count on to stand up to this agenda. They think this country's on the wrong track. You know, there are people out there that voted for Barack Obama because they wanted a change in what was happening in American government. This is not what they had in mind. This is certainly not what he campaigned on. And I think this fundamental redefinition of the role of government in our economy and in our lives is not what people thought they were voting for. They didn't think that voting for Barack Obama meant they were voting for to resurrect all of these failed liberal ideas of the last quarter century. And yet that's exactly what they're getting. And now they're saying, you know, hold on a second. This is not what we asked for. This is not what we wanted. You know, maybe we made a mistake. And I think that these elections beginning in Massachusetts and Virginia and New Jersey are the edges of a broader trend that will hopefully fundamentally redefine the discourse in American politics for the next, you know, 10 or 12 years.
Marco, it's probably a little bit of both, but do you get the sense that these elections are mostly a flat-out rejection of the current majority party, or are the Republicans in these races saying something, perhaps something you're saying as well, that is also appealing to voters, or is it mostly right now just voter frustration with the Democrats?
I think it's a combination of a lot of different factors, but mostly people are just voting for anyone who they believe will go up to Washington and stand up and try to stop this agenda from happening. You know, they don't want to see government taking over the healthcare industry. They don't want to see government passing cap-and-trade bills that are going to make the cost of doing business in America more expensive. They don't want a government which is on pace to grow the federal deficit faster and bigger than anyone could have possibly fathomed just a few years ago. They don't want this. And they want to send people to Washington that they can trust to genuinely oppose these policies and ultimately to offer alternatives to them. And then that's candidates that are able to do that are going to be successful.
What about the litmus test? Scott Brown was a very popular candidate at the end. He certainly surged to victory on Tuesday night. But if you look at his views on some social issues, he might not be the preferred candidate in some states for the Republican Party. But others would point out, if you're going to get a Republican elected in a place like Massachusetts, that's the kind of Republican you'll have. There's been this debate, obviously, between kind of establishment Republicans and Tea Party-type Republicans. How do you see the party coalescing as it heads into the midterm election?
First of all, Scott Brown got elected for one simple reason, and that is he promised to go to Washington, D.C., and be the 41st vote to stop the government takeover of health insurance in America. And that's what got him elected. As far as these other issues you've outlined, look, this is a very diverse country. And it was designed to be that way. States are very different one from another. You know, living in Massachusetts is a much different experience than living in Alabama or in Florida. And so certainly what we'll get elected in Massachusetts is different from what we'll get elected in Florida. Ultimately, I think the true litmus test for a Republican is that they are unified behind the principle that our party should be for what's right, even if it's not necessarily what's popular. And I think the strongest litmus test of all is a commitment to the constitutional principles of limited government. I think that's where the majority of Americans are in terms of their view of government. I think that's what the Republican Party should be about. It's what we've been about when we've been successful in the past. And it's what Americans are looking for right now.
On the issue of health care, we're seeing obviously a lot of scrambling as to what the strategy will be or if the bill will even go forward. Some say it's time to scrap it, put it on the back burner because folks don't want their vote on this to be so close to the midterm elections. Others say that they've got to do something, so they maybe scale it back. What do you believe the message is specifically on health care from the vote on Tuesday night?
Well, the message is that people are going to lose their elections if they support it, particularly, and they're really in trouble if they support procedural trickery to get it done. That's why I think it's incumbent upon Harry Reid to say no substantive votes are going to be taken on health care or any other major issue until Massachusetts senator is sworn in and the rights of the people and the will of the people of that state is respected. there's going to be a great temptation on the part of the Democrats and some of their leaders to try to force this thing through procedurally, but the message is very clear. If the Obama agenda is not safe in Massachusetts, it's not safe anywhere.
And last question before we let you go. The president in the last few days has taken a strong tack against Wall Street. He wants to tax banks to get back all the TARP money, even though a lot of those institutions have already paid back their debts with interest. And now today, of course, he's coming out with new rules for the banking industry. What do you make of that approach?
Well, first of all, it's just another. I mean, they're in a search for revenue now, and they're going to tag anybody they think they can get away with tagging. And so if that's your industry, watch out because they're coming after you next. Two things. Number one, they asked these banks to go out and make money. They said, go out and be profitable so you can pay us back and we can resuscitate the banking industry. And then now these banks have become profitable again. And by the way, they told these banks, not only must you become profitable, you have to build up your reserves to a much greater extent than they were in the past to prevent this from happening again. So these banks went out and did that, and now they're being told, hey, you guys are making too much money. We need to take some money away from you. So number two is these costs are passed on to the consumer, whether they can admit it or not. Every business has to be able to pass through its costs. If it can't pass through costs, it can't stay in business for long. These banks will pass these costs through to the consumer. Ultimately, these banks aren't paying that tax. We are. That's what's going to happen. That's why I'm against it.
Mr. Rubio, we look forward to the rest of this primary season campaign and what happens beyond there. Thank you, sir, very much for being with us.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Marco Rubio, former Speaker of the Florida State House of Representatives, currently a GOP candidate for U.S. Senate in Florida. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.